The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sua. In the headlines, fire still rages at Central Medical Stores in Tema. Tripartite Committee meets on new national minimum wage and base pay. 20 million euro Cape Coast water project takes off. Heavy floods in Malawi claim 48, displacing thousands more, and China sends additional medical brigade to Mano region to fight Ebola. Reports reaching Radio Ghana says fire continues to rage at the Central Medical Stores in Tema since yesterday's inferno. Firemen were unable to fully extinguish the fire that gutted the facility as at 10 p.m. last night. The firefighters comprising personnel from the Ghana National Fire Service, TOR, GPHA, National Security and NAGMO. It alleged that one of the workers was burning rubbish within the premises and that sparked the fire, but the extent of damage is still unknown. Even though stationary and administration blocks within the premises has been razed down by fire, the transport section was not affected. We are joined on the line by our Tema correspondent Yvette Efisa to give us any details. Hello, Yvette.
Hello.
Yes, good morning, Yvette.
Good morning.
Yes, so could you give us any further information on the situation?
Yeah, what is currently happening is that the fire is still raging. Firemen are struggling to put out the fire. I was told that they had to work throughout the night to control the fire. And what they've done is that now they have managed to control the fire from spreading to the transport station, which has not yet been affected. And initially, when the fire started, firemen were unable to have access to a fire hydrant. But with the help of the Ghana Water Company, Tema Region, yesterday night, they were able to locate a fire hydrant, which is helping them to control the fire. But still, the fire is still raging. And from the look of things, I don't know whether they can be able to put out the fire completely today because it's still raging.
Yvette Efisa, thank you for that update. The Public Relations Officer at the Ministry of Health, Tony Goodman, says the fire at the Central Medical Stores in Tema will affect health delivery in the country. He said though drugs are available in the system to last for about 2 months, more will be needed soon. Speaking to George Asikrion behind the news, Mr. Goodman said the cause of the fire has not yet been determined.
This is going to have a lot of effect on healthcare delivery. It's going to draw us back in terms of our preparedness towards Ebola. Right? It's going to make some drug distribution so difficult. It's not a situation we should be expecting now, because as a country, we've come a long way to build this whole facility. We've stocked this whole facility with enough medication that should be able to take care of us as a country. And this is what we have in at this moment. Even though we have some drugs out at the regional post that could last about 2 or 3 months, but we're still told that this is not a good time to have this disaster at hand.
In terms of quantifying the drugs, how will you describe the extent of damage?
I keep describing this as from the least to the highest, meaning from paracetamol infusion, from the mosquito net to what we call hospital equipment or beds. Those are some of the things you have there. You know, when it comes to distribution and drug stock, that is where all those things have been done. We have a storage facility that has been approved by international organization, WHO, where been approved by Food and Drug Authority in the country. You cannot store drugs anywhere. That is the only place you can store a medicine that will keep some period. That is the only place you can store the current donation we have when it comes to Ebola and all that. And we're not able to pick even one.
Quite sad. Has the ministry taken a decision as to the next move?
After five, we met with the Central America Store. The ministry met with management team that is in charge of the Central America Store, and we're looking at what to do from there.
Public Relations Officer at Ministry of Health, Tony Goodman. Government has begun negotiations with labor on a new national minimum wage and base pay for public sector workers for the year 2015. The new wage is expected to be announced before the end of this month. The Minister of Employment and Labor Relations, Haruna Idrisu, said the early announcement of the base pay and minimum wage will help the Controller and Accountant General to facilitate the payment of wages in the public sector. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, Ms. Idrisu urged Labour to take into consideration the national budget for the year before tabling its offer. The daily minimum wage in 2014 was 6 cedis from the previous 5.24 cedis. According to the minister, it is expected that the National Tripartite Committee, NTC, which comprises government, organized labor, and the Ghana Employers Association, would conclude negotiations much earlier than in previous years to be able to get the Controller and Accountant General to facilitate payment of the determined base pay and the daily minimum wage. Cape Coast and surrounding areas are to benefit from an all-year-round water supply in the next 24 months. President John Mahama cut the thought for a 20 million euro Cape Coast water supply project to take off at Agona Ibrahim in the central region. He said access to water is a priority of government and the vision is to ensure that more than 70% of urban and rural access by 2025, about 4 million gallons of water a day, is expected to be supplied when the project is completed by December 2016. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
Upon arrival of President Mahama and his entourage, residents of Abum Agona went agog. Not only were they happy to be beneficiary of water projects, but it is also the first time a certain president, aside from Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, was visiting the town. The Cape Coast metropolitan area and the neighboring Komenda, Elmina, Guafo and Abrim municipality and its environs are already connected to a water supply point from two sources, the Secheheman and the Brimsu Headworks. However, when the dry season approaches, the level of the Brimsu Dam reduces, thereby causing supply shortages. The 20 million euro project will include the construction of transmission and distribution network, reservoirs and booster stations to improve water supply all year round. The project will primarily interconnect the two water systems, Secheheman and Brimsu, and produce 4.4 million gallons of treated water a day. Last year, President Mahama inaugurated a number of water projects in various regions, including the Kpong Water Expansion System. He said government is committed to ensuring that citizens have reliable potable water. President Mahama noted that Cape Coast is the food basket of the country and government is determined to ensure that major challenges confronting the region are solved.
There are major water projects currently being undertaken in many parts of this region aimed at bringing relief from decades of water shortage. The first phase of the SHR water project, designed to serve some 163,000 people, has been completed. Government has secured funding to address the deficiencies in the existing distribution network, and this would extend supply to new areas such as Gomwa Main, Apam, Antsiangze, Ekumfi, and its environs. The people of Winneba are also going to benefit from the ongoing Akimoda Akwetia Winneba water supply project. The project, apart from serving many towns and communities in the eastern region, will also ensure water provision for people in places like Umpota, Jahadze, Ochreko, Nswetri, Esubompenyi, and other communities all in the central region.
The project is being financed and executed by the Netherlands government with a grant of 20 million euros. It is also part of the Ghana-Netherlands Water Sanitation and Hygiene Program. Hans Dokter is Netherlands ambassador to Ghana.
We have chosen the Cape Coast Water Supply Project as a first flagship project because we believe in this region. This region has economic potential. There's a lot of agriculture ongoing in this region that is continuing to grow and that can be strengthened, and in which Dutch companies are also investing in vegetable growing, but also tourism. There's a lot of investment also from Dutch companies in tourism, and we want to strengthen that with modern infrastructure in this region, and that's why we decided to fund this Cape Coast water project.
The chief of Abrim, Nana Jimankodie, grabbed the opportunity to make some few requests. the construction of more schools, rehabilitation of poor road networks, a science laboratory for the existing senior high school, and an upgrade of the clinic in the town. Even as the Cape Coast municipality gears up to receive more water, President Mahama reminds them on the need to pay their bills promptly, use water wisely, and also report leakages to officials.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting. President John Dramani Mahama is on the advice of the Judicial Council and pursuant to Article 14610B of the 1992 Constitution of Ghana, suspended from office, Commissioner for the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice Shraj, Madame Loretta Lamptey. Chief of Staff Prosper Bani in a statement said, the suspension follows the establishment of a prima facie case against Ms. Lamptey by the Chief Justice and the setting up of a five-member committee to investigate complaints made against her. Speaking to Radio Ghana, MP for Nsawam Edward Jiri, Frank Anodompre, explained that the new development shows Ghana's credentials as a democratic country and its commitment to the fight against corruption. He said due process has to be followed before establishing a prima facie case against the Shraj boss.
What it means is that we'll have an impeded investigation. We'll have a situation where the woman will be investigated thoroughly without any hindrances. What it also means is that it creates a very good image for corporate Ghana and then the Shraj as an institution. Because when the matter kept coming up, there were some question marks behind the reputation of the Shraj. To that end, even other bodies who are international bodies have been working with the Shraj. Some had threatened to pull out of the relationship and was, in a way, had cast a certain slur on the image of the Shraj. So it adds on to the reputation of Ghana and is also a very good a feather in the cap of our march towards the democratic process and also the fight against corruption.
MP for Nsawam Ndu Adwejiri, Frank Anodompre. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Fire still rages at Central Medical Stores in Tema. Tripartite committee meets on new national minimum wage and base pay. 20 million euro Cape Coast water project takes off. Heavy floods in Malawi claim 48, displacing thousands more, and China sends additional medical brigade to Mano region to fight Ebola. Please stay with us.
TBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
Welcome back. Despite a directive by the GPRTU to drivers to comply with the reduced fares, some drivers are still charging the old fares. Checks by Radio Ghana at various stations reveal that there's some form of miscommunication between the executive of the GPRTU and drivers. Yawa Santi, America, and Cecilia Beck will bring you the details.
At the Kanishi bus terminal, the welfare secretary, Kwabena Manfo, said fares have been reduced. He added that a directive has been given to the drivers at the bus terminals to reduce the fares.
Action has been taken to reduce the lorry fares. My office received a letter from the regional secretariat to the effect of fare reduction by 5%, and they calculated all the 5% and then they bring the new fares. And my office then again made a follow up and sent copies to all the welfare unions. And as I speak now, there's no complaint, so we are taking the new fares.
The situation was no different at the 37 bus terminal.
My name is Omar, welfare chairman of 37 GPH. We have received a letter from our regional secretariat on Saturday. So it was Friday around 4 o'clock. So it was yesterday, we called our members and we make it difficult for everybody to get a reduction of 5% since we started. The Macram station is supposed to be 85.
Radio Ghana observed that drivers are still charging the old fares. Some passengers confirmed this.
I know is from Bema comes to test 7, it's still the same as it's different. That's the final.
Actually, I came from Adeta. So on my way coming, I was asked to pay the old price. That is 1,360 pesos. So I gave him 1,360 pesos. And then he was telling me that it is 1,360 pesos instead of the 1,350 pesos. But I didn't agree with him. So I'm on my way going to Labone. And they've not reduced it yet. It's still the 2,360 instead of 1,390 pesos. They are still charging the full price.
All attempts to get drivers to speak prove futile.
That was a report by our Asante America and Cecilia Bekun. Meanwhile, the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU, has directed that with immediate effect, any member of the union who is found not complying with the directive on reduction of transport fares by 5% should be sanctioned. A statement signed by the General Secretary, Stephen Okudzeto, warns that such indisciplined behavior will not be tolerated. According to the statement, the sanctions will include withdrawal of offending drivers' loading rights. The new directive follows the refusal of recalcitrant drivers to abide by the union's directives and are still charging the old fares. The Ministry of Transport will tomorrow inaugurate another investigation committee to probe further the actual cause of the crash of the Ethiopian airline at Kotoka International Airport on Saturday. This is because the investigation team set up by the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority has up to date not assessed the cause of the crash. The sector minister, Jifa Tivo, said this when she, together with entourage, toured the location of the crash to see the situation on the ground. Priscilla Pia and Larry Tabat have filed this report.
At the hangar where the plane crash landed, officials of the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority, GCAA, surrounded the airplane, which had a large number of cargo sealed. The front of the plane had been badly broken and disjointed. Some staff of GCAA were seen trying to find measures to convey the goods on board. After thorough checks by the Minister for Transport, Jifa Ativo, her deputy, Joyce Bauer, and some top officials of the GCAA, this was what the minister had to say.
We've been there and we saw what happened. We will inaugurate the city on Thursday. As far as I'm concerned, they just told us how the aircraft came and we realized there was a crash. That's all they know as of now. We're going to do that on Thursday. Their report will tell us what actually happened and the way to forestall repairing. It's a natural process. We don't have control over it. When the weather is clear, we'll be allowed to operate. We don't put people's lives in danger because one person thinks he has to go and do his business. As far as safety is concerned, we want to be sure that we are doing the right thing. It's unfortunate, but it's the weather. Nobody has control over the weather.
The acting director general of the GCAA, Al-Hassan Abdullahi, said the authority is waiting for the investigative team come February 28 to implement its findings and recommendations, adding that all three members of the plane's crew are well.
The terms of reference of this committee is to determine the causes of the accident, their recommendations, and any other issue they find relevant to the investigation. And we have charged them to submit their report by 28th of next month. But then we will just implement the recommendations that we have. We spoke to them on Saturday when the event occurred. First of all, they were sent to hospital. They've been discharged, and we just give them moral support for them to come out of psychological trauma. Some of the cargo could be perishable, so if you could allow them to evacuate. So what we are doing is that we're going to evacuate them, then go and weigh those cargo, just to ensure that they are within the maximum weight.
Priscilla Appiah and Larry Tabat's report. Following the application by the alleged rape victim Erefia Orleans Thompson to withdraw the case against Kwesi Chiedakwa alias KKD, a legal practitioner and president of the Legal Advocacy Foundation, lawyer Maurice Ampal says it is not in her capacity to say the case should be withdrawn from the law court. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, he emphasized that this is a criminal case against the state and not just the individual.
I think what has just happened is that
new development has taken place, and the complainant have declared an intention through its letter to discontinue. But it's not in the capacity to discontinue the matter. It doesn't have the capacity. It's not told in law because the offense that is alleged to have been committed against her is not against her. It's against society. And where crime is being committed is against society. So she doesn't have the capacity to discontinue. Discontinue of a criminal proceeding is the prerogative of the Attorney General. He has the right to prosecute and the right to enter into knowledge prosecution. So it's not up to the complainant to say that I'm discontinuing the matter. What he has done is to say that, look, I'm not interested in being the complainant and also being a key witness to the criminal prosecution. That's what his attention is. And it's up to the prosecution team led by the Attorney General to decide whether they can continue to prosecute without his input. And depending upon the evidence that they've gathered, if they realize that it is very difficult to do so, then unfortunately, I think that they might discontinue. But it's not in her capacity to say that I'm not interested in the matter, therefore the matter should be withdrawn.
You heard legal practitioner and president of Legal Advocacy Foundation, lawyer Maurice Ampau. The acting executive director of the Center for Local Governance and Advocacy, Dr. Vladimir Ntridanso, says the National Sanitation Day, though a laudable idea, needs to be intensified and expanded to whip up massive public participation. He suggested the government use programs and activities that appeal to the emotions and patriotic interests of the public to make the exercise successful. Dr. Ntridanso was speaking at the launch of the second edition of the Decentralization Eye, a quarterly newsletter on local governance. Jonathan Thompson and Rosemond Boateng have filed this report.
The Decentralization Eye newsletter will be vigorously used to enhance citizens' participation in the National Sanitation Day. According to Dr. Ntridanso, the exercise by governments is a laudable one in the process of decentralization because it involves public participation in the development of local areas and the nation as a whole. To intensify the sanitation day, Dr. Ntridanso called for what he termed the flight approach, in which a day is set aside to honor a noble personality or phenomenon against the backdrop of the cleanup.
You may get somebody who is so popular, say, call it Mandela Cleaning Day, Kwame Nkrumah Day, so you fly with the name. And you know, everybody will do some work. We will feature it and even suggest most of the things I'm suggesting to you now. Suggest to the assembly, suggest to the national bodies how we will perfect it and make it enthusiastic.
Dr. Vladimir Ntridanso said the Decentralization Eye will be used to empower MMDAs in pushing for total decentralization through the publications of stories and articles that educate them on best practices of decentralization from other countries. The second edition of the newsletter covers issues like the 2015 budget statement, profile of the Gawes Municipal Assembly, and how to improve local government financing. Launching the publication, the Deputy Minister for Greater Accra, Ni Jangma Vanderpoy, was optimistic that issues raised in this publication would set guidelines for Parliament during their debate on the 2015 budget statement.
As a parliamentarian, I believe the commentary run by the Centre will guide us during the debate on the 2015 budget statement in Parliament. You are quite a young Centre, but I see you are doing great things.
Nijangma Vanderpoy pledged the regional office's support to ensure that decentralization is improved at the district level.
Jonathan Thompson and Rosemond Boateng filed that report. On the foreign front, ousted former Vice President of Zimbabwe Joyce Mujuru has vowed to launch a legal battle to regain control of the ZANU-PF party. The disaffected party CADA called the party's December Congress, which elected new leaders, illegal, saying there's neither constitutional nor moral authority for it to form structures that can lead both party and the government. Former Party Secretary for Administration Didymus Mutasa said they'd use legal channels to reclaim the leadership of the party from the jaws of political vultures for all the loyal members of ZANU-PF who are determined to restore the image of the party. Scores of party officials, including Mutasa, party spokesperson Rugari Gombu, party commissioner Webster Shamu, and war veteran leader Jabulani Sibanda were fired last year after being accused of siding with former Vice President Mrs. Mujuru. President Mugabe also sacked 9 cabinet ministers and 6 deputy ministers aligned to Mrs. Mujuru. China has increased its assistance in the fight against Ebola by dispatching an additional 232 military medical workers to West Africa. Reports from Beijing said the latest contingent has been sent to afflicted nations. They'll join 43 army doctors and 35 specialists from the Chinese Center for Disease Control, already working in Sierra Leone, where they have treated 61 patients and trained more than 1,000 local medical workers. According to Deputy Director of the National Health and Family Planning Ministry, Kwi Li, Ebola prevention should be supported globally instead of regionally. China, which has not yet reported any Ebola cases, has already provided $121 million in cash and supplies to fight the disease. Heavy floods in Malawi have killed 48 people and left 23,000 displaced. The Malawian President Peter Mutharika has therefore declared 10 out of 28 districts in the country disaster zones. Some of the victims were reported to have died when villages got flooded, while others died when their homes collapsed. President Mutharika has appealed to the international community for assistance for the impoverished country. Officials were unable to visit the affected areas due to continuing poor weather conditions. The new edition of the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo has gone on sale, with a cartoon depicting the Prophet Muhammad on its cover. 3 million copies are being printed a week after Islamist gunmen killed 17 people in Paris. The cartoon shows the Prophet weeping while holding a sign saying, "Je suis Charlie." I'm Charlie. It is believed earlier cartoons of the Prophet prompted the attack. The slogan "Je suis Charlie" has been widely used following the shootings. To enter news, the main points again. Reports reaching Radio Ghana say fire continues to rage at the Central Medical Stores in Tema since yesterday's inferno. According to our correspondent at the scene, as at last night, firemen were unable to fully extinguish the fire that gutted the facility. Fire and smoke continue to billow as at this morning. Government has begun negotiations with labor on a new national minimum wage and the base pay for public sector workers for the year 2015. The Minister of Employment and Labor Relations, Haruna Idrisu, said the early announcement of the base pay and minimum wage will help the Controller and Accountant General to facilitate the payment of wages in the public sector. President John Mahama has cut the sod for a 20 million euro Cape Coast water supply project for Cape Coast and its surrounding areas. He said access to water is a priority of government and the vision is to ensure more than 70% urban and rural access by 2025. The project will take 24 months. And heavy floods in Malawi have killed 48 people and left 23,000 displaced. The news was